greet you all in the name of Jesus this morning. Seek an interest in your prayers. As inspired by the service thus far, I'm always inspired and glad to see young men teaching the adult class. I remember as a young married man teaching the adult class in the Valley View Mennonite Church, the older men up front in the Amen Corner. It's a good experience for you all. I also appreciate the participation in the congregation here, the Sunday school sharing. Appreciate those who are ready to share and in the discussion. I don't know if you saw the verse above the last song that we sang. I always like to take notice of that. Romans 8:37, "Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us." And then verse 38, "For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nothing can separate us from the love of God except we allow it to." We know that the devil is making attacks on the home, the church, and trying to destroy that. Why? Because the home is the backbone of our nation. The home is the backbone of the church. And the devil's trying to destroy that. I've chosen this morning, one could always go a number of different directions. On husband and wife relationship, on children, parents and children relating. I've chosen not to do that this morning, but I simply want to look at a simple blueprint that God gave us in Psalms 127 and 128. You may turn there. In these two chapters, you will find a blueprint that God has given for the home. I don't think any builder, any carpenter, I don't think Brother Steve would want to start building a house without a blueprint. If you didn't know how to draw one, he probably would help you work that up. But we need a blueprint to build a building. But God gave us a blueprint to build a home. You know, the carpenter can build you a house, but he can't build your home. In Psalms 127, verses 1 and 2, we have the inception of a home. And in verses 3 to 5, you have the expansion of the home. You have the childbearing years. And you go to Psalms 128, verses 1 to 4, you have the child-rearing years. And in verses 5 and 6, you have the empty nest years, which is where grandpas and grandmas find themselves when children are gone. They're all married or they're all gone somewhere. Where are they gone? I'm going to read these two chapters at this time, Psalms 127 and 128. "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, and to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Little children are inherited to the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate." Psalms 128, "Blessed is every one that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways. For thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house. Thy children like olive plants round about thy table. Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion, and thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. Yea, thou shalt see thy children's children, and peace upon Israel." As we look at this simple blueprint this morning, I trust and hope that we can gather some inspiration for us today to continue to be faithful home builders. One of the first things we see in chapter 127 is that a satisfying home depends on God's blessing. Before he narrows it down specifically, in the first two verses, he illustrates the fact that anything we do, if God is not in it, it's nothing. Solomon, the author of these Psalms, begins with a broader principle. Twice he repeats the phrase, unless the Lord. And three times he hammers us with the word vain, to make the point that the only possibilities are that the Lord blesses our efforts. Unless God blesses it, it's going to be in vain. Unless you have the blessing of God upon your home, it's going to be in vain. Unless you keep God as central theme in your home, family worship is going to be vain. And family worship means even before children come. And even in the empty nest years of your life, family devotions is still important. And I think it's important that grandpas and grandmas continue that family altar. May God help us to see it so important. The foundational principle means that the most important factor on the home front is not having the latest techniques and the latest technologies, are from that you find from the most recent books or seminars. The most crucial factor in building a satisfying home life is that you walk in genuine humility before the Lord, casting yourself upon His grace in faith and prayer. Unless God is central in your home, you will not make it. You can work hard at building your family. You can be diligent to guard your children from harm. And you can make sacrifices to provide what they need. You can do all of that. But if God's blessing is not upon your home, you're wasting your time. You need the blessing of God. A satisfying home must be built by acknowledging your own inability and daily seeking God's gracious blessing, daily seeking the help of God to build that home. Do you recognize this morning your absolute need for God's blessing on your family? If you do, it'll be reflected in frequent, fervent prayer for your children. Have your children ever heard you pray for them? I trust they have. I think it's healthy for your children to hear you as a parent. I remember my parents in their bedroom praying out loud for us children as we went to bed. They were fervent in doing what they've done in praying for us. It's a healthy experience for your children to hear you pray for them. And as you gather in family worship, pray for them. You know, it's ironic that Solomon wrote these Psalms but failed to apply his own words. But as we look at verses 1 and 2, we draw three principles out of those verses this morning. God's blessing in our families. Seeking the God's blessing means understanding the principles of God's grace. That is the point of verse 2. This verse comes out of Solomon's experience. And Solomon had beloved of the Lord. And he was beloved of the Lord. God asked him one night in 2 Samuel, God asked Samuel, what can I give you? What can I do for you? And we know Solomon asked for wisdom. And parents, this morning, do we ask for the wisdom of God in raising our children? Do we ask for the wisdom of God in bonding our relationship in marriage? He says in James that He'll give us liberally. Plenty of it. He'll give us all that we need if we but ask for Him for that wisdom. Dear ones, this morning we need that. Parents, we must ask. It's important in our family life, because we can't do it on our own. When our children do things wrong, when our children need correction, we'll get into more of that in the child-rearing years of family life. But the second one is seeking God's blessing means understanding the balance between faith and works. Solomon is not advocating that the builders stop building. The watchman stops watching, and the workers stop working, and let God do it all. God needs you and I. He still desires to work through the instrumentality of man. We see that all throughout Scripture, that God wants to work through the instrumentality of man. He's looking to you as parents to raise these children that are His. They are an heritage of the Lord, it says. In verse 3, "Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and He has given them to you to raise for Him." If we want God's blessing in our home, then we need to work hard at building our families, and at the same time, depend wholeheartedly on the Lord. Faith and works are compatible, not exclusive. The third one is seeking God's blessing means understanding the balance between career and home life. And that's a very important one, brothers. That's a very important one, to understand the balance between career and home life. What was the first institution that God created? It was the institution of home. When you become a parent, you're committing yourself to give that your highest priority in serving God. Yes, it takes money and it takes time to provide for the family. And we are commanded to provide for our families. If we don't provide for our own, we are worse than an infidel. We need to find that balance. We don't want to come to the empty nest years of our life and wish that we had just spent more time with our children. Yes, there's no perfect parent on the face of this earth this morning. There is no perfect parent. But dear ones, this morning, we don't want to come to the empty nest years of our life. Yes, we can see things that we could have done better. And I can testify of that. We can see things how we could have related better to our teenagers. And I thought of parent and children relationship. Parents, this morning, if you waited till they're teenagers to start communicating with them, you have waited too long. It starts the first year from the cradle for you as fathers as well to make that bonding with that child. And that's probably one of the most biggest mistakes that we make, to think that we want to wait till a little later till we can communicate more with our children. Children are an heritage of the Lord. I went back to one of my other sermons that I preached at home. It was actually an assignment for the home congregation that I preached on the sanctity of human life. And I trust this morning that we see the real value of God's heritage. As we think of our abortion rate today, abortion was the number one cause of death worldwide in 2018, with more than 41 million children killed before birth. As of December 31st, 2018, there have been some 41.9 million abortions performed in the course of a year worldwide. By contrast, 8.2 million people died from cancer in 2018. 5 million from smoking, and 1.7 million died because of HIV/AIDS. Astounding. That was 1 year. Do we see the value of children? Do we see whose they really are? Those are astounding figures. You ever stop to think about the millions and millions of children that are in heaven? There's very little value today on human life. We'll leave that where it is. I remember a story that happened in Michigan since the years that we lived there. During COVID-19, the sale of puppies have soared. The price of puppies have gone dramatically up. I remember the story of a family in Detroit, it was on the news, who had a pit bull for many years of their married life, and God gave them a child. The pit bull had always got the attention. And when that child came along, the pit bull did not get the number one attention. And the pit bull took the child by the head one day. The father shot the dog to free him from the child, but he already killed the child. The public criticized him because now you have neither. Where has the value of children gone? Fathers and mothers, do we value God's heritage that he has blessed us with? That's the kind of world we live in. America, the United States of America, is guilty of murder. There's blood running off their hands. I want to notice now, as we go into verses 3 and 5, we did mention verse 3, "Lo, children are heritage of the Lord." A satisfying home enjoys the blessings of godly children. From little on up, reading them the Bible stories and teaching them the way of the Lord. And as your children grow up, you begin to shift your family worship to a higher level for the older ones, and yet still combine the younger ones. But enjoying the blessings of godly children requires having the proper attitude toward children. The world views children as a liability, and I trust that that's not found in the Mennonite church today. We must see our children as an asset to society, as an asset to the church. Do you see them as such? Children are called a gift. It's a gift from God. They are a blessing in verse 5, it says. They're not a burden. Do you view your children as a burden? Do you view them as being in the way sometimes? If God tarries, he's going to give he'll give every one of you the years when the children are gone. When they're married. Grandchildren coming on. Parents, grandparents this morning, your work is never done. Because you have grandchildren coming on. You have married children sometimes come back for advice. And I believe, number one, you need to communicate verbally to your children how precious they are to you. Let them know in words that they are God's special gift to you. Sometimes teenagers may look at other homes and they think, well, that home's just a little bit better than the way Dad does it, or the way Dad and Mom do it. Don't view that as a threat. You don't need this to. We need to take a biblical view and not the unbiblical concept that has come to our society today. We need to view them as a blessing. And we need to view them, and the way you treat them will make a difference. They need to feel like they're worthwhile. Fathers, this morning, maybe they can't do everything just right the way we'd like it done. But do you have the patience this morning to let them try? Maybe it doesn't get done exactly right. And as children grow up, you need to allow them to make some mistakes that may cost you something. I remember an older bishop that is gone now for many years. But I remember him making a comment that every child needs to raise rabbits to learn to lose money. You need to let them, as they get older, you need to let them make decisions that maybe they doesn't come out so profitable. Can we tolerate that? Secondly, communicate non-verbally to your children how precious they are to you. One of the ways that you can do this is to spend time with them. Those times will speak louder than any words you can say. You know, sometimes an absent father needs his child to just come and interrupt him and let him know that he's still there. I could come home from the office sometimes with a mind that is just full in my younger years. And I must admit that I had to be reminded that my children need my attention when I come home. And they need yours too. You need to leave work behind you. You're coming home to family. You need to take time to raise your family. God is asking you to do this. Don't wait till a convenient time to do that for your children. Enjoy the blessings of godly children and request taking the proper action with them, taking the proper time with them. Now, Solomon compares children to arrows here, and I like this comparison because arrows must be shaped sharply. They must be sharpened. In Solomon's day, you didn't go down to the local sporting goods store and buy arrows at that time. You shaped your own arrowheads. And on the old farm back home, my older brother and we'd walk with him. We'd walk through the fields looking for Indian arrowheads. And we had quite a collection. I'm not sure what happened to all of them today, but they were arrowheads. He knew what he was looking for. And as we walked through the fields, we'd find one after another. Sticks aren't arrows by nature. They had to be carefully shaped and sharpened. Children are the same. It implies work. It implies responsibility to shape those arrows just right. Children don't grow into straight, sharp arrows by being left to themselves. It takes diligent effort on the part of a wise father to bring them up in the training and the admonition of the Lord. Arrows must be aimed. Fathers, you have little children growing up in your home. You have teenagers. Teenagers are getting close to the time when they will be released. How carefully have you shaped them? How carefully have you sharpened them? As you release them, where will they go? Where will they go? Skill and direction. We need the Lord as we shape those arrows and as we release them as burning arrows for Jesus. And as they go and start homes of their own, mothers, you need to cut the apron strings. It says, leave father and mother. Yes, they can come back for advice. And you need to be ready to share when they come back for that. But the apron strings need to be cut. I can give you stories of apron strings that were not cut. Of the home life and the way it was. Release them for the Lord. Can you release them to go to uttermost parts of the world? They may leave and go far from you. And I have committed myself that no matter where my children are called in the work of the Lord, I'm willing to let them go. So far, they're scattered from Virginia to Pennsylvania to Michigan. If we regard our children with the proper attitude and raise them with the proper actions, then we can enjoy, number three, we can enjoy the blessings of godly children that results in a strong witness for Jesus. A father who has his quiver full of straight, sharp arrows ready to send into the heart of the enemy will not be ashamed when he speaks with his enemies in the gate. The city gate was a place where the Hebrews, men gathered to conduct business and carry out justice. Applying this to our day, satisfying home is a powerful source of a witness for Jesus. Remember, a solid home was the backbone of the nation and the backbone of the church, and we've lost that in our nation. I know we're not far enough along here for where the clock is at. But I trust this morning that as we take a glimpse into chapter 128 yet, I'd like to bring in a few more points yet if I can. God's blessing in the family is based on the fear of the Lord. A godly man is to lead his family in fearing the Lord. Probably noticed that God did not inspire the psalmist along political correct lines. What do your children know more about? Do they know more about the political system of our day than about the things of God? God has chosen man to be the head of the home. Who did God call when he walked into the garden after man had failed? He said, Adam, where art thou? Fathers, you have been called to be the leaders in your home. How do you lead your family spiritually? The good news is that it is easy to lead children to follow your example. But is your example right? Is your example right? A godly man will lead his family in fearing the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the dominant theme throughout this Bible. Just going to admit a few things here. In terms of home life, a man who fears God will not use his name in vain. He will not joke about the things of God. He will rid his home of any trash, magazines. In leading his family, he will get rid of things that do not belong there. He will get rid of things that will tend to lead his children the wrong way. There are a lot of things of technology today. Fathers, you need to give direction to that. Do you give direction to your children's cell phones? Do you have a family plan? Do you keep track of where they're at? Do you know where they're at on the computer? Do you know where they're at on the internet? I ask you those sobering questions this morning. Your children need to be accountable to you. If you haven't won their heart, it's going to be very difficult for you to do that. I'd like to just give you a few suggestions. Now, I didn't grow up in the cell phone age. My first introduction to mobile phones was when my daughter's boyfriend came around with a bag phone in the center of the car. And it wasn't until a number of years later, and I say a number of years later, that we had our first cell phone. It's opened up since that time a whole new world of technology. Where the younger generation has it above us almost, it's hard to stay up with it. I want to give you a few directions, fathers. And if you haven't done it this way, don't go home with a heavy hand and use an authoritarian way to change things. But I can give you the illustration of one young father. The cell phones are not allowed in the bedroom. They're all put at a certain place before they go to bed at night. And that's where they stay. The cell phones are not allowed to be used around the family table when mealtime is. And I think a few simple rules like that, and you can elaborate from there, but a few simple rules like that can help to give direction in the right way. God bless you as fathers as you endeavor to lay some safeguards in the electronic world in which we find ourselves. That we are not led away. The fear of God also affects our emotional state and attitude toward life. You will be happy and it will be well with you if we see that danger. In verse 2, in the second part of that verse, the man who fears God is content and he isn't griping about how hard life is or complaining about all the bad breaks he has received. He isn't grumbling about how hard he has worked, but he is happy. It is well with him. It is cheerful. He is cheerful and pleasant man to live with, even when things are not going well. Your teenagers and you're out. Your teenagers in your home don't need to hear all of that. How hard things are financially, whatever it may be that's pressing upon you. Choose to be the right kind of leader who fears the Lord and walks in His ways. This man's happiness doesn't depend on outward circumstances. But it depends on his joy in the Lord. A dad and his son were climbing a mountain and came to a difficult part. The dad stopped to consider the best route up. Behind him, his son called out, "Choose the best path, Dad. I'm coming right behind you." Somebody follows you. The second part of this chapter, a godly woman will be a fruitful and faithful home builder. You could go to Proverbs chapter 31 and look at that. We're not going to take time to do that this morning. But a godly woman will be fruitful and faithful. She will support her husband. There's a number of applicable things in Proverbs 31. And we must view every child of God, every child God gives us, as a blessing from Him. Even special children. I want to tell you something this morning, dear ones. God has carefully selected every parent for every child, and even the special needs children. He has carefully selected you for that responsibility. This godly wife's fruitfulness refers not only to bearing children, but also to her productivity. A fruitful vine produces something refreshing and nourishing for others. A godly wife and mother will not be lazy. She will be industrious. Proverbs 31 brings that out. And it'll reach beyond her, the walls of her home. It'll even reach into the community around her. Doing things that will benefit others. The fruitful view points to the joy of this woman and her family. The figure of a fruitful vine also suggests that a godly wife will make not only her home, but also herself attractive to her husband. This godly woman is not only fruitful, she is faithful in the home, within your home. She is strong, meaning the innermost part stands in marked contrast to that of the world. Proverbs 7:11. She is one who is faithful. Titus 2:5. A godly wife and mother has a commitment to her family, as seen by the fact that she is within the house. She is a keeper at home. In the words of Paul, she is a worker at home. And I think church has grown much in the past number of years, and in mothers being keepers at home over the past centuries. And I wonder sometimes just how many of our teenage girls should be right away put out to the workforce. And I think it's mother's place to make sure that daughters learn the homekeeping duties at home. And when they're going out to careers, yes, we need young ladies for school teachers too. Don't get me wrong. There's a place for that. But I remember in this shop where I worked in the office, I remember when we got to the place where we were forced to open up the doors for women to come and work in the wood shop. And you know who the first woman was that came? It was a young Mennonite girl. I wonder about that. Were we really forced? Yes, we were threatened. of being partial toward men. And there were some particular jobs in the shop where women could do a lot easier and a lot faster and a lot more efficient than men. And that was in the assembly line. Third point is this, that growing fruitful children will carry on the godly legacy of the home. The blueprint for a satisfying home this morning includes children described as olive plants around the table. Today the world looks in amazement. We have a family picture at the store we have. We're up to 30 grandchildren now. And people just, is this all one family? I get that question thrown at me many times. Is this all one family? And I tell them we have 30 grandchildren and they just almost, but from how many children do you have? I tell them we only had 5. And they just look in amazement. How can you ever do it? Children, Christian parents, sometimes we can fail because we have too high a standard for our children in the wrong direction. We need to be growing together as a family in the Lord's way. The second implication of the olive plant is our children require nurture and care and patience. There's a lot of pressure during the child-rearing years of life. There's a lot of stress sometimes. A tree doesn't bear fruit overnight. It takes a lot of tender, loving care, protection, weeding, watering, and feeding, and a lot of prayer before the fruit comes in the lives of children. That's the picture here of the children being nurtured towards fruitfulness. Parents, don't become weary in the battle. Don't become weary in well-doing. In due season, you will reap the fruit. Don't react when your child maybe embarrasses you. And because of what others think, you react out of being embarrassed. Thus, God's blueprint begins with God-fearing man and ripples out to faithful women and ripples still further to growing and eventually fruitful children. What is the end result of this process? Personal and national well-being are the result of homes where God is feared. The family is the building block of the nation and of the church. And friends, this morning, we finally come to the end where you have the empty nest years of your life. Yes, we did not do everything right. It's your home being built on the Lord Jesus Christ. This morning, I want to ask you, do you, as a parent, see your calling as a parent as a holy calling from God? Because that's what it is. Becoming parents is the greatest joy that a person can have in this life. Children are a gift from God. Don't forget that. They're not yours. God has given them to you to raise for Him. We missed a lot this morning, but I trust that this short time of inspiration will give you encouragement as a parent, as a grandparent, to continue to press on. Shall we pray?